Ramsey TV.
You gotta understand, folks. You gotta understand. The first gospel in God's heart, the only gospel in God's heart, the gospel that he wanted to come out of the gate with, is Paul's gospel, the gospel of the grace of God, because he is grace, right? He is love. That's what was in his heart the whole time. But he can't come out of the gate with it, because then everybody will go, yeah, the grace of God. So there you have it. Yeah, he's got to go through the law first. He's got to go through this trudge first, this demonstration that flesh and blood is not able to do the things of God. He's got to do that first, so that when the gospel of grace comes, bang, it's the greatest thing in town. This is Martin Zender. The MZ of MZTV stands for Martin Zender. It doesn't stand for marinated zucchini, as some of you think. So I want to correct that right away here. So it's just like, think of the old covenant and the new covenant. God can't come out of the gate doing everything for Israel, like putting his law on their hearts, and now they're doing everything he wants them to do, he commanded them to do, because of this enablement of the Spirit of God on them. No. They got to go through the whole disobedience thing. They got to go through the whole weakness thing. They got to be temporarily cast aside, and God takes them back in because, again, for the contrast. So Paul's gospel, it's the gospel that he had in his heart the whole time. Oh, it reminds me in Hebrews where God says, it's not in my heart, right, to do the blood of bulls and goats. He didn't get all excited about killing animals. No, that wasn't his thing. He doesn't delight in the blood of bulls and goats. Yeah, he likes human blood. No, that's not true. So that's why. Now, in Romans 9, we left off, Paul is going to do something crazy here. He's going to tweak the scriptures. He's going to take a scripture from Hosea. Hang on one second. He's going to take a scripture from Hosea, and he's going to tweak it and apply it to the nations. Now, I told you yesterday that it was a shock for the nations that God was now speaking directly to them, because make no mistake, they had heard about the fame of Israel. They knew that God only messed with one nation and everybody else was kind of like on the fringe, and if they get any blessing at all, they have to be associated with the chosen people. So a gospel is coming to them, and of course the Jews knew that something was happening with Paul among the nations. They weren't altogether happy about it. In fact, they hated it. So Paul actually quotes a passage from Hosea chapter 1, but he's applying it to the nations, because what he's saying is there is a hint in the scriptures that God would one day go to the nations. Now, Paul has just turned in verse 23-24 from talking about Israel to referencing the body of Christ. He's going to be making known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he makes ready before for glory. Us, whom he calls also, not only out of the Jews, but out of the nations also. And now he quotes Hosea, as he is saying in Hosea, I should be calling those who are not my people, my people. And he who is not beloved, beloved. And it shall be in the place where it was declared to them, not my people are you, there they shall be called sons of the living God. Now the weird thing is this verse in its original location in Hosea, this verse applies to Israel. God told Hosea to take a wife of prostitution. Yeah, that would have been a tough thing. Well, probably the prostitutions were good-looking women, so Hosea's going, well, if I have to, I'll go to the prostitution culture and I'll take a wife of prostitution. And the whole reason God did this is to demonstrate that Israel had been prostituting themselves. And so he goes through this whole demonstration, you are not my people. You are not my people. So Paul is taking something that applies in its original prophecy place and mode, applies to Israel, and he's applying it to the nations, because they were definitely not my people. I mean, Israel went from being his people to being not his people because they were disobedient and he would cast them off at various times. But the nations were definitely not my people. If anybody were not his people, we, those who were not Israelites, those who are of the nations, are not his people. Yet, it shall be that in the place where it was declared to them, not my people are you, there they shall be called sons of the living God. The verse, the phrase that jumps out at me there is, in the place where it was declared to them, not my people. In the very place where it was declared, not my people, there shall be said of them, sons of the living God. So he's taking the same people, and now he has a different attitude about them. The people haven't necessarily done anything differently. It's just that now God has a new attitude toward them. And it's the same with the nations. Here we are, or here the nations were, worshiping idols, doing what is not becoming of human beings, and in the place where it was said, not my people. Applying it now to the nations, to Paul's day. Suddenly, without the nations doing anything, it will be declared of them sons of the living God. The important thing to note is in the place where it was declared, not my people. Nothing we did changed God's attitude about us. It's just that one day we were not his people. Now think of your own call. I'm applying it now. I'm taking it to third generation. Hosea was the first generation. Paul was the second generation when he's speaking of the nations in general. And now I'm taking it to the third generation. Us, our lives. Our lives before we heard the call. In the place where it was said, not my people. There was a place and a time in our lives when we did not know God. And we had no hope in the world. Referring back to the second generation in Paul's day, he says that about the nations. You had no hope, no expectation in the world. You had no expectation because Israel was numero uno. Now, not only do you have an expectation, but you have a celestial destiny. And what did the nations do? Nothing. God's mind just switched because of the sacrifice of Christ. He declared there to be a new humanity. Christ took the old humanity to the grave. What did the second generation have to do with that? What did the first generation have to do with that? Did Israel become obedient all of a sudden? No, God put his law in their hearts. Boom, the same people who yesterday couldn't do law, all of a sudden when God puts their law in his hearts nationally, they will be able to do the law. And when Paul says to the nations, you are without expectation in the world, in Ephesians, all of a sudden now, they're sons of the living God. What did they do? Nothing. It was a declaration of God. It was an objective declaration of God. God didn't say, dance for me. God didn't say, show me what you can do. It was just declared of them. And we're seeing it here. We're seeing it there. She who was not beloved, he is calling beloved. And it shall be in the place where it was declared to them, not my people are you, there they shall be called sons of the living God. It turns on a dime. Now coming to the third generation, it turns on a dime. We do nothing. It was just suddenly we said, wow, I am a son of the living God. It's a realization of a truth. That's the whole thing. It's a realization that someone else did something that you couldn't do. That's the whole thing. That's the truth of justification. Nothing you do changes. All of a sudden, you're a sinner, and now you're justified. What did you do? Nothing. It's all what Christ did. And of course, the old covenant and the prophecies concerning the new covenant back in the first generation looked forward to the sacrifice of Christ. In Paul's day, where he says, suddenly those who had no expectation in the world, they're sons of the living God, speaking of the nations, it looked back recently on the sacrifice of Christ. And Paul applies it. Paul applies it in a way different way than Israel did. To Israel, Christ was their Messiah. To Paul, Christ was the death of the old humanity. Much more radical truth. That's where we get the new creation. It's not merely being born again, it's new creation. So we have come into a radical truth. And now in the third generation, where we were not his people at 1 p.m. on a Thursday, at 1:05, we're sons of the living God. We have a celestial expectation. We're justified. We're conciliated to God, all based on a declaration, on a change of God's attitude. But again, as I started the show with, he can't do this at the beginning because no one would appreciate it. It would be a yawner. It would be a snoozer to say, yeah, I have access to the living God. There's another thing. Paul says we have access with confidence to the Father. It wasn't always that way. How do we know that? Because we study the scriptures, we look at the Old Covenant, and we see how the people had to approach the deity tippy-toe. You had to wear the right clothing, the high priest did. He had to wear the proper vestments. He had to wear the linen. He had to go through the laver, washing, and the altar sacrifice. And then he tiptoed into the holy place. Then, my God, he tiptoed into the Holy of Holies once a year. That's what you had to do to be in the presence of God. And if you made one mistake, you dropped dead. Because access to God was very limited. It came through curtains. It came through veils. It was a laborious process. Why did God do all that? Do you think it was in his heart to do all that? No. He had to set up this. He had to set up this, what we're experiencing today, the grace of God. We don't appreciate it unless we realize how holy, mighty, inaccessible, perfect God was. Now we're in the presence of the living God. We're like, whoo, that's amazing. So going back to what I said, that's the reason there's two evangels. The reason there are two evangels is because God can't come out of the gate with the evangel that's in his heart. What we are embracing, the 13 letters of Paul, this was the evangel, this was the gospel, this is what God wanted to say to humanity the whole freaking time. But he can't. He can't because he has to lay the groundwork. He has to lay the impossibility of reaching him in the flesh, right? He has to create this desperation. The old covenant the same way, right? The old covenant was that Israel had to try to do the law. It was a taskmaster, Paul says, to bring the people to Christ. That's the way it is with Israel. Well, with us, we look back and we see the processes of Israel and we go, well, thank God I didn't have to go through that. But it helps to know that because now we can appreciate what we have. You got to feel sorry for Israel. They had to go through all that. They had to be the guinea pig nation, as I call them. I've never heard anybody else call them that. It seems audacious. It seems bold. It seems a little crazy, but that is the case. They were the nation. God wasn't experimenting with them, but it was a demonstration to show humanity that, you know, by works of law, no flesh at all shall be justified. And so in the very place where you are, the second before you received a revelation of what Christ had done for you, in that very place, you find out that you are now the same person you were, the same minute. Nothing you had done changed anything. God didn't ask you to dance or perform or juggle chainsaws. Suddenly, in the very place, at the very time you were estranged from him, in your own apprehensions, in your own comprehensions, at that moment, you realize that God has now declared you to be right before him. But we have to go through the preliminary in order to realize how great we have it now.